Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Radio Sports Update. The NFL transaction still hot and heavy. Teddy Bridgewater expected to stay as a New Orleans Saint despite getting a better financial offer from the Miami Dolphins. Bridgewater apparently likes the prospect of taking over from veteran Drew Brees one day, and he likes the Saints' locker room and culture. With Bridgewater off the market, the Dolphins are expected to turn their attention to former Buffalo Bills and Browns quarterback Tyrod Taylor and also maybe draft a quarterback in the draft. The Buffalo Bills busy today all with their receiving corps. They made a pair of signings, inking Cole Beasley and John Brown today. Beasley, a slot specialist, signing a four-year deal worth $29 million. And Brown, a good deep threat, will make $27 million over the next 3 years. Beasley notched 672 yards receiving with three touchdowns. And Brown finished with 715 yards and five TDs. Jordan Hicks intends on signing a four-year deal with the Arizona Cardinals. That Anthony Barr story back and forth. He is potentially backed out of a deal with the New York Jets to stay with the Minnesota Vikings. The 26-year-old is taking less money to stay in Minnesota. It's a multi-year deal worth $13.5 million a season. Barr has made four straight Pro Bowls. The New York Jets beefing up their defense. Free agent linebacker C.J. Mosley intends on signing a huge five-year, $85 million contract with the New York Jets. The deal carries an annual salary of $17 million, $51 million guaranteed to make him the NFL's highest paid linebacker. That surpasses Quan Alexander, who signed on with San Francisco Monday. He makes $13.5 million a year. The Cleveland Browns adding to their already stacked D-line today, signing Sheldon Richardson, a three-year deal. He is going to earn $39 million on that new contract, including $21.5 million guaranteed money. The Browns' new-look front four looks very dangerous. Larry Ogunjobi at tackle with Myles Garrett and newly acquired Olivier Vernon as rush ends. This looks like a formidable top four there. The Green Bay Packers very busy today. They picked up three prominent defensive players, agreeing to terms with edge defenders Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, and safety Adrian Amos, formerly of the Bears. And on the offensive side of the ball, they agreed to a four-year, $28 million deal with former Bronco offensive tackle Billy Turner. Champions League soccer action today. These games just getting going right now. Juventus taking on Atletico Madrid. Madrid leading 2-0 on aggregate. And Manchester City beating FC Schalke. City leading 3-2 on aggregate. These games are 4 o'clock. Eastern starts just kicking off right now. ACC tournament basketball action. We got a final in. Miami beating Wake Forest 79-71. Either depending where you got it, you got a half point win or a push. Game went over the total. Notre Dame all over Georgia Tech right now, 63-49, 11:07 to go in the second half there. We have title games on the docket today in Morencia. Yeah, your team, Fairleigh Dickinson. We talked about them. Northeast title game at 7 versus St. Francis. St. Francis a 4.5-point favorite, 145.5. Colonial Conference title game. Northeastern minus 2.5 against Hofstra. 145 is your total. Summit League, Nebraska, Omaha, 3.5-point favorites over North Dakota State, 144.5. Horizon League final should be a good one here. Wright State, minus 1 against Northern Kentucky, 2 of the best there, 133. And the West Coast final, Gonzaga, minus 15.5 versus St. Mary's. Total in that game, 139. 7 games in the NBA tonight, all over the board there. And Tim Tebow, what can you say about Tim Tebow? He's going to start this year in AAA Syracuse. Pretty good for his fourth promotion for the Mets organization. Every single year he's getting better. Maybe one day he will make that Major League team. Also, 8 games in hockey tonight. A lot of busy stuff. We got college basketball action. We got tournament action. We got big man on campus, Long Island Rage, George the Colonel Kurtz, and a whole lot more. Stick around, everybody. It's Red Heat and Rage Radio here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, hosted by my buddy, Gabe Morency.
Game time decisions.
Game time decisions, Red Heat Rage the Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Gabriel Morency, throwing it down with the Ranger Redhead. That Cam Stewart, the Twisted Tuesday edition of the program. Colonel Kurtz, George Kurtz, will join us, big man on campus. We'll throw it down. We'll get to all the best bets of the day. National Football League free agency continues. The Buffalo Bills have been pretty active. New York Jets reportedly have told Le'Veon Bell that he's on the clock. I guess the Jets have made Le'Veon Bell an offer, and they told Le'Veon Bell that he's on the clock and he needs to tell them whether he's going to sign with them or not. I guess Le'Veon Bell's been teasing on Twitter or Instagram or whatever about how a decision is going to be made in the coming days. So the New York Jets could be front runners right now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Also,
looking to be in the mix. And I say looking to be in the mix just because of the odds makers have the Jets and the Bucks as the favorites. And looks like the Bucks are clearing some space, some money to spend. They've got Deshaun Jackson gone. They let Humphreys go, who is pretty good. I think they have something coming, Cam, and I think that something could be Le'Veon Bell. And, you know, the Buccaneers already, could be poised for a turnaround with Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich there and Todd Bowles. They get Le'Veon Bell. That'd be a big move for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Sure would be. And the thing about them, Gabe, it's the same thing with Jaquizz Rodgers and the muscle hamster. That's one thing about Tampa Bay. And for all the things you say about Jameis Winston and the great games and then the crappy games and then Fitzmagic, he comes in, looks great for a week, then throws four picks. Like, it's been up and down, but they never really had a steady running game. So if the Bucs can get an upper echelon running, not just a scat back, that would be great for them. And we know what happens at division. Every year it seems to be the team that's on the bottom that gets slapped around really can turn it around in one year. That's what we know about the NFC South. The bottom feeders tend to have good years afterwards. You take the worst team and they tend to make a little bit of run into the playoffs.
Yeah, we've seen in the last 10 years or so, pretty much every team make it. I guess Tampa now is the one that hasn't made it in the longest, and they've actually won a Super Bowl before. But, you know, New Orleans won a Super Bowl. Atlanta's made it to a Super Bowl. Carolina's recently made it to a Super Bowl. The AFC South has been a pretty successful division in the NFC Conference. And, you know, you look at Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians isn't the type of dude that can coach like a young team and rebuild a young team. But if he's got good players, I think he's a good coach. And, you know, Bruce Arians, I don't imagine, is going to be around forever, Cam. So I don't think the window, with this team is massive. So they could be sort of in a let's go for it now. But it's true. If you look at the Buccaneers, not just really running backs, but they haven't really signed. When was the last time the Buccaneers signed like a free agent star or made a splash, really? You know, they really haven't, and they haven't really had a legitimate star running back since, I would say, Warrick Dunn?
Yeah.
You know, Warrick Dunn and Mike Allstott. You know, the combination of Allstott and Dunn.
That's right. In Allstott we trust. You're right. It's been a while there, yeah. And it's the old Buccaneers, those guys. I remember, Mike Allstott, one of the best fullbacks in the game. Warrick Dunn was fantastic. What's he doing now, Gabe? Helping people like Homes for Humanity. He's a very charitable guy. Great Florida State Seminole. You're right. Like, they used to have big guys on the team. Keyshawn Johnson, Warrick Dunn, all these other guys. Even when Brad Johnson, they won a Super Bowl versus the Raiders with him. But you're right. Ever since that, I look at Tampa Bay and I'm like, they haven't really done anything. Maybe it's time. And great point by you with Arians. This guy's not going to take a young team. They have to have pieces already there, and it's going to be interesting to see what kind of leash Jameis Winston has with Bruce Arians this year. He better perform.
Well, that was one of the reasons why he left Arizona, that Arizona was getting younger, wanted to rebuild and start over, and he was like, I can't do this. Like, I can't be rebuilding. Bruce Arians, he doesn't have a lot of patience, Cam.
Good point.
Like, he's a very surly dude. Like, you know, he's already sort of, he's warned Winston. You can't turn the ball over. You can't do this. Like, I need you to, be better. Like, he's challenging him already. You know, he doesn't have a lot of patience. And look, this last year of Jameis Winston's contract as well. All right, so that's why we talk about it. Yasiel Puig even said, I didn't try last year with the Dodgers, or last year. I had a contract.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, Game Time Decisions, Ready for Rage, our radio. The music is good, Yang, but you got to turn it up, crank the levels up a bit if you can. George Kurtz will join us momentarily. Big man on campus a little bit later on, as Cam mentioned at the top of the program. We've got more conference play. You know, last night wasn't a nightmare, Cam. I ended up going 5-4, ended up playing 9 games. Whatever, man. I probably lost a little bit when you add it all up with the juice and everything. I won like $25 more than I lost. I won $475 in winning tickets, and I have I have $425 in losing tickets. So,
yeah,
about $50. But you add the juice up, then it's basically a break even. Plus, it cost me like $22 in Uber or whatever to get there and back. So it was one of those nights, but it was frustrating, Cam, because even though I was 5-4, the San Diego Torero game, dude, I know you're on the Toreros too.
I was.
Whatever, man. 4.5 is a crooked number, Cam. Like, it's like 5. It's like getting 3 in a football game, 5. Like, it seems like, oh, you're getting 4.5, 5. It's really not much, because once it late in the free throws hit. But that stupid game, dude, we were leading. We were going back and forth all night. And then late, we're literally down by 4, with like 8 seconds left. I don't know if you saw it. The kid missed 2 free throws in a row. Like, you know, it would have cut it to 2, and we were getting 4.5. Like, so basically, Cam, he hits those free throws. St. Mary's gets fouled after. Whatever. They hit their free throws. It's back to 4. And then we go down the court. We take a shot. We lose the game.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way this could have played out. And instead, the kid misses the free throws. We foul. They miss. They hit one of their free throws, so they get it to 5. So now we're losing by 0.5 point, of course, because I'm getting 4.5. And then, of course, and then I don't know if you saw, dude, there was like, so San Diego shoots the ball with like a couple of seconds left. It doesn't go in. Kareem's out of bounds. And it's one of these, like, even Weisheisen's there is like, well, it doesn't really matter now, but whatever. It's all semantics, but there's still one second left, and who gets the ball? Of course, San Diego gets the ball, Cam. Kid had a clean, open look at a 3. I thought it was going in. Like, when he shot, I'm like, nice shot, nice shot. It popped in and out. Like, it was one of those. It wasn't short. It wasn't long. Like, it was in the cylinder, and it just sort of canked, like, bang. And it just popped out, and, of course, we don't cover the number because of that. And that was the last game of the night. It was like 1:45 in the morning. It was real pissed off, man.
Yeah, it was 11:30.
That was a $150 swing for me.
Yeah, no, it's horrible, Gabe. I watched the game on the app, and I should have cashed out, and I'll realize that. When I have a bad feeling like that, it's not heartburn. Just cash out. Just cash out. And
what happened all night, Cam?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I didn't see Greensboro, plus 7. Yeah. Cam, they ended the game. The Terriers.
I had a horrible night, too.
These guys, Kim, I'm plus 7. I'm up all night. They're leading by 5. They're leading by 4. And then, like you said, I can see it. It's like, oh, shit, it's tied.
Here it
comes.
Oh,
boy, they're down by 2. Oh, boy, they're down by 4. And it was just exponentially, like, quick. It was like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. And then at the end of the game, they're like, can you believe it? Can you believe it? Wofford ends the game on a 16-0 run. I'm like, yeah, I can believe it.
I can believe it.
I'm plus 7. I just lost by 12 somehow. Yeah. You know?
It's ridiculous.
They ended the game on a 16-0 run. That's my night. Like, my picks were good. My wins were, like, good wins. And then my losses are, like, just brutal.
I can't even defend myself. I know we got George Kurtz here. My Columbus pick over the – I have nothing to say about anything.
You got to give it up on Columbus. They're overrated, bro.
They are. They were good to me once, but, George Kurtz
– They're good to you once. They play 82 games a year.
You bring up good points.
George Kurtz. Like that, they were good to me once. Yeah, the Miami Dolphins were good to me once.
Once. Actually, 3 times.
What's up, Kurtz?
Good afternoon, guys. How are we doing today?
Oh, we're okay.
That's great when you're betting on a team. They were good to me once.
Colonel Kurtz knows my problem with the Jackets.
Didn't the Jackets screw you guys over the weekend for a parlay or something?
Yes.
Yeah, they did.
I think 2 weekends ago they got me. Yeah, it's a weird team, guys, because let's face it, after all the moves they've made, they have no future, right? They've traded away everything, and a couple of their guys, Panarin, Bobrovsky, Duchesne, they're not staying with the club. If they don't make the playoffs, everyone's getting fired there.
That I'm telling you, dude, like, it doesn't matter. Basketball and hockey, it's tough in hockey. Hockey players, it's tough to just drop a guy on a new team and the chemistry in the room and then what line are you on? And it's just, I swear, man, the NHL trade deadline, it very rarely works out for people. I mean, kind of like Cam said, Columbus was good to him once. Like, when I think of NHL trade deals, people ask me, what's a good NHL trade deadline deal? I'm like, I don't know. Ray Bourque helped Colorado. It was a while ago.
Yeah, it's usually the one guy that gets you over the hump, Gabe, but you're right. Like, these megastar deals never work. They're always pie-in-the-face deals. They look great on paper, but they don't work out. Right, Kurt?
I remember when the Carolina Hurricanes won. I think, didn't they get Doug Weight? I think Doug Weight helped them. There wasn't Doug Weight on that team. Like, or it was like they got Mark Recchi, I think, or they acquired someone, I remember. I was like, you know what? He actually did help them win the cup, this guy. But it's sort of few and far between where you're like, man, they picked, like, look at Washington last year. Did Washington win a cup because they picked someone up, or did they finally just get it done? You know what I mean?
It's hard for a team sport to add one guy. And also, that's going to make a difference. You already said it, Gabe. Where's the chemistry? We've all played hockey. I mean, you may be faster, or you're faster than the other guy thinks. There's no chemistry there. There's no use to the other player. Why in football? I know the last couple of years are a little different, but in football, there were never big trades at the deadline because, once again, you don't know the system. You don't know the players. What you're good at, they may not need, or they may not be used to. It's just strange how it works out. Think of football. Golden Tate, fantastic with the Lions, right? Goes to the Eagles, and he's a nothing. Because they're not used to throwing it to him in that speed, though. The quarterback wasn't comfortable with them. Hockey's the same way. I think the only thing in hockey where it might work, a goaltender, you know, that's pretty much stop the puck.
Exactly.
Right?
That's your job. You're a goalie.
Baseball trades will work because baseball, you got to hit the ball, right? Hit. You're not worried about the team. It's a pretty much an individual sport, baseball.
And
hit.
Even a defenseman, I could sort of live with in hockey.
Yeah. No, you're right.
You're hitting people. You're clearing the zone. Get the puck out of the zone. Hit people.
Yep.
It's different when you're a forward. You put a guy, you notice power play struggle with new dudes, and you're like, how are they struggling? They got all these studs.
The thing about Columbus, Gabe, right? They don't score anymore. Like the Islanders beat them 2-0. They don't score. When they lost to the Devils, I think they got one goal. Like, they win in a shootout. Like, I don't know what the hell is going on. The most goals they've scored, George, was that game 4-1 versus Pittsburgh, and that's the only good game they played in, like, what, their last 7-8?
They're struggling. I think because of all the new additions, no one knows who they're playing with. They have too many new additions. I think you can add a forward, but not a skilled forward. You want to add a fourth liner, a banger?
Yes.
That's fine. Yes. Go add a banger.
Exactly.
Go hit.
Exactly.
Because that's easy. But anybody else is tough.
You add that fourth line grinder. That's perfect. A little salt, you know what I mean? A little salt for the room. That's good. But you're right. You start putting skilled players, man, in, and they, you know, maybe they like the puck. You know what I mean? They don't like the puck. They don't want to go in the corner. You know, on the other team, the other guy used to go in the corner. I don't do that, right? Like, there's all kinds of little nuances that we see. Chemistry is key. We're seeing it right now in the NBA even. I mean, the Warriors are a worse team with DeMarcus Cousins on the court. The Raptors, as good as Kawhi Leonard is, they're like 18-3 without him.
Yep.
Right? And because he's new, suddenly everyone else is sort of like, well, all right, let's watch him, like, try to beat a double team now. Like, people just sort of stand around and watch him suddenly. You know, LeBron with the Lakers. You can go down the list. We see this. We see it time and time again. And it leads us into the NFL. We'll get back to some hockey picks after. But it leads me into the National Football League, in which, guys, me and Cam talked about this yesterday, George, but I believe Nick Foles is a case of this, in which I think Nick Foles was a good fit for Philadelphia. He had that chemistry with Jeffrey. He had the chemistry with Ertz. He had the chemistry with Doug Peterson, who was a quarterback. Frank Reich was a quarterback. And you know what? Also, I was thinking about it. Frank Reich and Doug Peterson weren't very good quarterbacks either. They were sort of like Foles. They weren't star guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, they could relate to Foles. All right, this is how we can be successful with a quarterback of this skill set. Now, you put him on Jacksonville, I don't see the same production at all, George. I really don't. Like, me and Cam were talking about it yesterday. We'll see what the Jags' win total is, but I guess the Jags think they were just a quarterback away. I don't think Nick Foles is that guy.
Oh, I agree. I don't think he is either. I think it's a big mistake by Jacksonville to pay him, $22 million a year? I think this is a bust. Yep.
Yeah, and 4 years. And, well, whatever. You can say, well, they could cut him after two, but you just gave him $50 million, so you better get something out of him.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage on radio. Crazy day. So, we just heard Joe Ranieri talking about Conor McGregor yesterday. We even got to that. We hit that on the morning show today. Serge Ibaka tried to kill Marquise Chris last night.
A lot of anger.
Which was gold. And Russell Westbrook threatened to kill a NBA fan's wife at a game last night.
True.
That's right. He said, I'll F you up. You and your wife.
Boy,
that was the best. And Buddy said, what? He goes, oh, yeah, you and your wife. And then he even said, he goes, on everything that I love, I'll F you up. You and your wife. Pretty hostile night. And just when you think like you can't, you've seen it all. And normally in this, this new political climate, every day there's something like, oh, God, like, wow. Massage parlor and oh shit, she actually hangs out in Mar-a-Lago. That's so like 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Full House, Lori Loughlin, the star of the Hallmark channel, basically. formerly of Full House. And she of a pretty nice rack, actually. She was actually on Seinfeld once, if you remember. She's kind of, she's hot in that TV way. She's all right. So it turns out her and her husband bribed USC. I'm just aghast that the USC Trojans would do something like this. They bribe USC. I don't know what sport they said she played, actually. I'm not sure. We'll double check. But essentially, they paid a coach at USC $500,000, $500,000 to circumvent the SAT system and to get her into USC. And it turns out the reports are Lori Loughlin's daughter, whatever the hell her name is, not that I care, her daughter couldn't even fill out the application for USC properly. Like, literally and figuratively, she effed up the application. Like, basically, they have it in the wiretap. So, basically, the USC, they take the money and then they hook you up with someone. If they can't just let you in the door. So it's basically like, and now you go see this. It's like, hello, Dr. Nick. Dr. Nick, you know what I mean? You go see the special SAT consultant. And I guess there's like some sort of program where you don't have to do the test in front of the faculty. So they got it. So basically she couldn't even fill out her application, man. And it's funny because I guess they already paid the $500,000, and there's a message that says, listen, there's a problem, and she's going to have to do the test in front of them at the school. You imagine they already paid the $500,000, and they know their daughter's too dumb to do this. She can't do the test. That's the whole point why we pay for the $500,000. She can't do the test. So they actually arranged it, but they got greedy, and they got caught. And same with his Felicity Huffman, who's married to the dude from Fargo, he's in on it too. It's so Fargo-ish too. He's a snaky dude. He's a good actor, but hey, he's a snaky guy. Look, man, he killed his own wife in that movie. And anyone that'll do something in a movie will do it in real life. Can't trust that guy. So George, this is what you're up against. Are you ready to bid against the Hollywood celebrities to get your kids into university?
Listen, I am not one of those crazy parents, man. I've known parents, not really known, but heard parents who go ballistic over getting their kids into the right preschool. Yeah. Okay, you're talking, you know, having paint all over your hands and eating your paint. You're eating crayons. And they're worried about getting into the right preschool. I pretty much stay out of it. I stay out of teacher's way. I assume they know their jobs. Those of my kids are on the right path. I'm happy with that. It's unfortunate, but I think you're crazy if you think that this doesn't go on all the time. And not just with celebrities. Anybody who's got money is doing whatever they can to get their kids ahead. Anybody.
Okay, but number one, isn't this an embarrassment for an Ivy League school like Yale? I mean, and, you know, you're supposed to earn your way in.
It's an absolute killer for them.
You're supposed to earn your way in. Number two, what about these scholarships that aren't going to some poor kid in a poor neighborhood that's working his ass off? Right? This scholarship, it might be a scam scholarship, but it's still being taken away. It's still on the books as a scholarship. Right? I mean, there's some girl out there that's a good swimmer or whatever that's broke. Hey, you know, work hard, Jenny, and you'll get a chance. And no, man. She's ending up going to Stony Brook. You know what I mean? Like Stony Brook, UCLA or something. Yeah, another story, Stony Brook. I shouldn't have said that.
My wife went to Stony Brook, damn it.
It's like Lisa Simpson always bashing Vassar University on The Simpsons. Homer's like, I've had enough of your Vassar bashing.
But the problem is this. I mean, isn't there going to be an audit now of all these schools?
Well, no, because they get away with everything. That's what I'm saying. It's not even the NCAA.
But not anymore.
The universities. They do whatever the hell they want to do. At least they're getting shaken down now.
I think there's going to be more stuff that comes out about this because I think these schools will be ordered by whoever controls, governs them to make sure these, I guess, student-athletes are indeed athletes that are on the team, that they know how to, you know, you mentioned before that they can pick up a tennis racket, that they can kick a soccer ball. Are they even showing up here? And I'm surprised more about this doesn't come up over and over again in today's social media about people going, what? So-and-so has a soccer scholarship? They never kicked a ball in their life. How's that happen?
Exactly. All right, here's one. Here's Dan. Listen, people are picking up on this. Dan Wetzel. How does an artist who doesn't play soccer become a woman soccer recruit at Yale with a fake profile and a $1.2 million payout and a $400,000 bribe? So, look, this isn't the old, you know, hey, listen, Jim, and we've known each other. I'm an alum here. And, you know, how about I donate to the new tennis court here? And, you know, can you get my daughter a meeting with the dean? And you know what I'm saying? This is full out. Like, here's $1.2 million, fake scholarships, fake profiles. They created a fake profile. So we're just talking about it. Fake profile, like, of pictures playing soccer and stuff. Like, this is like a diabolical scam. It's just, you know, it's just unbelievable. Like I said, it's just, you know, you look at the common dude. I mean, that guy gets choked out to death selling cigarettes here in New York. Meanwhile, you know, teachers and coaches at Yale are charging $1 million for dumb rich kids to get into the school. It's just, I guess it's just fitting. I mean, like you said, George, did anyone ever think that the American university institution and system was some sort of bastion of purity? As if.
It's all about money, man. That's all that matters here. What's the old saying? Money talks, bullshit walks, and it's true. I mean, we all know there are many different sets of rules, but rich people definitely have a different set of rules than the rest of us.
Yeah, so that's the scandal of the day. So when we were going to the break I talked about Nick Foles. And one thing that strikes me the most about the Nick Foles deal, and I brought this up a bit yesterday, is that who are they bidding against? You know what I'm saying? So they paid, all right, they paid all that money for Nick Foles. I don't see a lot of other teams in dire need of a quarterback right now. Like, I don't see any team that was desperate to pay that, you know, that type of money for a quarterback. The one team in the NFL looking for a quarterback right now is the Miami Dolphins. And I guess they're close to getting Tyrod Taylor. So, they you know, that was the price range that they were looking at. Yeah, hey, settle down. That Tyrod's my guy.
My bad.
Port.
But, I was thinking the same thing.
They're spinning their wheels. Yeah, but I'm just saying, who are they bidding against? Like, couldn't they say, all right, you got to pay Nick Foles. You want a Super Bowl and stuff,
but not that.
It just seems like $50 million guaranteed, the 4 years. It seems a little excessive, man. You know what I mean? How about three years and like 60, you know, instead of four and 88?
Let me ask you this, though. All right, and I agree with you because I think they were bidding against themselves. He wasn't going anyplace else, not to be a starter anyway. I think there's two things happened here. One, if Foles wasn't going to get what he wanted I guess, to feel respected as a starter, he could have gone back to Philadelphia, right? Being back up there and whatever it takes. So I guess he could use that leverage. The second thing would be maybe he goes, you know what? The GM goes, I need him to be respected in the locker room as a true starting quarterback. If I pay him $15 million a year, which is terrible money for a quarterback, what is that saying? He won't feel good. I won't feel good. The team may not respect him. I could see it that way too. But the bottom line is, we always hear how football is a business, right? It's a business. It's not a sport. It's not a game. It's a business. This contract really made very little business sense because, once again, Foles, he's only done it in Philadelphia. He's failed in Kansas City. We don't know he's going to be with Jacksonville. And there was no place else for him to go.
For 4 weeks, right? It's not like he did it for 4 years in Philadelphia. He had a good month.
Oh, he lived the charmed life.
Yeah.
I don't think he's very good. I don't. I think he'll fail in Jacksonville. I think he'll fail in Jacksonville like he did in Kansas City.
But why did they? And the thing is, if you want to get into it too, think about it, Cam. And, you know, we don't do a lot of the – it's boring to most, so we don't get into the contract of it. But it's like people don't talk about it. Like the Pittsburgh Steelers restructured Antonio Brown's contract recently. Like they actually made things worse for themselves. The Jacksonville Jaguars just gave Blake Bortles an extension and made, like, you guys just extended him last year after the playoffs, you know? And I'm telling you, the Jags have deeper issues than just Blake Bortles. And, you know, they wanted to, I remember Coughlin, you know, sort of after was like, the word was, they're going to blow it up. Like, that there was problems in the room, you know, specifically Leonard Fournette. You know, remember he started the fight against the Bills. Like, he's just... He's always hurt. You know, he's just, he's not a team guy. He sits on the bench looking pissed off all the time. I know they don't like him. Like, Coughlin doesn't like him. Marone's fed up with him. I thought they'd be more active in trying to trade him, to be honest. They still might. I mean, you know, it's not over yet, guys. Free agency right now. Don't forget the draft coming up. Deals happen at the draft as well. So it's just strange to me that, I don't know, maybe they've done it about face and they think, well, if we bring Nick Foles in, it'll stabilize things. But I'm not in love with the move, but let's talk about my Buffalo Bills. I'm not in love with John Brown. The guy, you know, although I get confused about John Brown. The guy with the heart issue, there's two of them, right?
It's fast, though.
He's the speed guy.
Yeah. And the Bills get Cole Beasley for the Dallas Cowboys. How about that, Buffalo Bills? We'll get Kurtz's take on the other side. Bills.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope. And type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Game Time Decisions, right here on Major Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm David Bransky, from Captain Rachel Redhead Camp Store. George Kurtz joining us right now. Big Man on Campus will join us in the 6 o'clock hour. We were going to replay a conversation. Well, listen, we spoke to Chelsea Handler this morning, which is actually, she's actually pretty cool.
Wow.
We spoke to Chelsea Handler. We also had a Buffalo Bill interview, but the Bills signed a couple of guys after the interview, so it'd be kind of dumb to replay it right now. We could, but it'd be lazy. So we'll have to bite the bullet, Cam. No replay interview today.
No problem.
John Brown, not the John Brown with the heart condition and the other John Brown that was on Baltimore most recently, signed with the Bills. But Cole Beasley as well, and of course, George Kurtz is a Cowboy fan. Cole Beasley felt as though that he didn't get the ball. He stated after the fact, if you recall, George, he said, I didn't get the ball enough due to politics. And he essentially implied that the play calling comes from above. You know, I don't know. It seemed like he was jealous of Amari Cooper. He basically stated, you know, I didn't get the ball due to politics and where you're drafted and due to the system and the politics of it. He had a good rapport, though, with Dak Prescott. What do you make of Cole Beasley? Are you shedding any tears that Beasley's gone?
No, not shedding any tears. I mean, he's a productive slot receiver. He's okay. He's not a game breaker by any means. He's not Julian Edelman, Wes Welker, or someone of that ilk. He's not Golden Tate. He's not going to break big plays for you, but he's productive. He makes those little, you know, those 5-yard slants and catches the ball, extends the drive. He's not good at yak or rack, whichever way you want to look at it, yards after the catch. He catches the ball. He'll run around a little bit, but he's not faster than anybody else. His other problem is when he gets tackled, he tends to always get banged up, always get hurt. He's limping here and there. But he's a productive receiver here. But as a Cowboy fan, no, he'll need to be replaced on the Cowboy roster. But I'm not shedding tears that he's gone. I think he is replaceable.
What are they going to do there, George? What's the next move for these guys? We know we talked about Earl Thomas. That doesn't look like it's going to happen. You got Lawrence is a must sign. So many questions there. We talk about Irving, the drug stuff. It's just a lot of questions surrounding Cowboys camp. What's priority number one right now, George?
Well, priority number one has to be signing DeMarcus Lawrence. They franchised him, but he said, I'm not going to sign this. Remember, DeMarcus Lawrence, he needs surgery. He's also not doing that until this contract is worked out. And from what we're hearing, this surgery is going to take about 3 to 4 months to recuperate from. So the Cowboys can't wait till July 15th. Assuming that Lawrence follows through and doesn't have the surgery until he signed to a long-term deal, the Cowboys can't wait to the deadline to sign your franchise signing, which is July 15th. That would put him out pretty much the entire season. So they're going to have to make a deal quickly and then go move on from there. Listen, we're seeing all of these guys sign for big money. That's going to stop in the next day or two. And then you'll get your bargains. Right now, or you mentioned Earl Thomas, he's going to be like, oh, crap. He's running out of suitors as well. So I don't know where this big money deal is coming from him. And there's a chance, now that we saw the Kansas City Chiefs sign Matthew, that Eric Berry gets thrown out here also as a safety. So there are lots of safeties out there for the Cowboys to get here. So Thomas's price, he wants to be the number one safety. He thinks he's going to beat Landon Collins on that contract he's about to sign tomorrow at Washington. That's not happening.
One thing that catches my eye, guys, is the Baltimore Ravens. And, it's not easy. Oftentimes when fans see, they let this guy go and that guy go, especially guys that have been there a little while, they think that the team is sort of, giving up or tanking or, that they don't care as much. And we saw this with Seattle. Remember, Cam, I told you I thought Seattle would be better off without Sherman in the room, that he'd be better off without Michael Bennett there. That, at this point, it was just kind of stale that you're better moving on. It's not really the case, though, with Baltimore. Terrell Suggs still plays at a pretty high level. It's amazing considering how long the guy's been around for. Suggs leaving, C.J. Mosley leaving as well. They've always done a great job of sort of passing the torch, and they've done a great job at the draft table. Ozzie Newsome's not going to be in the war room this year for the first time for them in a long time. That'll be interesting. But they're also seemingly clearing up space, and more we hear, and I've heard Le'Veon Bell is interested in playing in Baltimore as well. It's funny, the bitter rival of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I guess he just wants to turn the screws right to the end, Cam, and figure, I'll play for the Ravens after this. But supposedly he's open and wants to do it if they can come up with the money. And I'm seeing right now all the so-called insiders, they're all talking Ravens in the mix right now for Le'Veon Bell, which really, George, would be the Pittsburgh Steelers' worst freaking nightmare. It's just annoying.
Absolutely.
That he's there. Like, does it put him over the top? But they're division rivals. Baltimore are good. It's not like you can say, Le'Veon Bell sucks. He's 26. You can make more of an argument like I said, as a Bills fan, I would have preferred Le'Veon Bell than Antonio Brown. Bell's less of a head case than Brown is. Bell was just about money. He was just simply, you're screwing me over. This is garbage. You keep franchise tagging me. It was solely about cash and his position. Antonio Brown's unstable. Like, there's a difference. So Le'Veon Bell to the Baltimore Ravens would be a nice feather in their cap. And it wouldn't shock me if it happened. Supposedly the Colts are out. I never thought the Colts would do that, even though the Colts had money.
There seem to be three teams that could go for Le'Veon Bell. Obviously, the Ravens, for the reasons you just mentioned, they're clearing cap space for somebody, to make a run at someone. Maybe it has to be a defense now. They've lost some players. But Bell would make some sense there. We know Lamar Jackson. What's his issue? Well, throwing the ball. He's not all that great at throwing the ball. Well, you know what? Le'Veon Bell catches about 80 balls a year in that Steelers offense. Those are short throws. So that would be easier for Lamar Jackson. Makes some sense there. The Bears also cleared room. Right, and we know they're trying to trade Jordan Howard. Yes. That's been out there for a couple of weeks now. Could they make a run at Le'Veon? Wouldn't that be nice for Trubisky? That would be nice.
Time. Yeah, it would be very nice.
Right? And then the other team, of course, is the Jets. You know, they have the cash. They have, certainly have the need.
And the Buccaneers. So let's say four. The Buccaneers, I would say, two in the mix.
So I don't think – Buccaneers, we're not hearing anything. Once again, they could be waiting for the price to come down. You know, I don't know if Arians wants to deal with Bell either. But I don't think the Jets, I've heard both.
The Bucs are they're actually the co-favorite with the Jets, according to the sports books. So I think there's something here. You know, Arians wants to make a splash and make a splash fast, George. You know, and Le'Veon Bell, you know, me and Cam were talking about it earlier. They haven't had a running back since the Warwick Dunn days, really.
Yeah, I don't think if they want to make a big splash fast, this would already be done. So either Bell's asking for too much money, or he just can't find the right fit yet. Because he would have already been done. All the big names are pretty much off the board already. We know where they're going.
Plus, he lives in Miami. I don't even know where he's from.
The Ravens make a lot of sense. You guys are right. Just to stick
it to Pittsburgh.
F you to Pittsburgh. Remember, Gabe, that Collins story where he hit the tree eventually. So he's done. He might do hard time.
Oh, no, they don't have a running back.
Gus Edwards was at the end of the back. That happens every year. Yeah, Gus Edwards and Kenneth Dixon for Louisiana Tech hasn't really established himself as a real running back. Exactly. They have not. That's a perfect fit. If I was a betting man, which I am, I'd throw it down on Baltimore.
And as George mentioned, too, it helps Lamar Jackson, and it also makes Lamar Jackson's life a little easier because teams are going to have to really – you got to worry about Le'Veon Bell. You know, if they hand it off to him, you got to stack the line. If you know, you got to worry about the little screen pass to him. He catches so many balls. And at least it'll open up some space for Lamar. Like, basically, teams that I was reading about, how – teams were messing with Lamar Jackson's head was basically they were just dropping guys back in the zone. They were just crowding the field, essentially, because he's not good at reading things, right? So they were just dropping bodies back, and they were like, you find the open man. It's like, where's Waldo? You know what I mean? So he sort of had a problem with it. Le'Veon Bell could take that pressure off a little bit. Like, you need to shadow Le'Veon. Suddenly there's two dudes. Suddenly there's just one less guy in the box. It's a quick hit to the tight end away now. It really does open things up a hell of a lot for a young quarterback if you had Le'Veon Bell. And, you know, if you're Baltimore as well, it's not just you getting better. It's weakening Pittsburgh as well, right?
Yeah.
You know, you go for the jugular. You see Pittsburgh's weakened, and then you step up and, you know, you get Le'Veon Bell. Could be interesting. He could be in the mix there, guys. That wouldn't shock me.
He stays in the division, too, a division he knows well. You know, I think once again, to screw Pittsburgh, Baltimore has the cap room. Looking right now, they have about $32 million. They could get it done. The bottom line for me is this. Bell's going wherever the most money is. I don't think he's worried about winning as much. I don't think he's worried about location. He wants to get paid, and he wants to save face.
Except the Jets, George. Except the Jets. I think the Jets' offer has been the best all along, and it's sort of like Harper with the Phillies. You know what I mean? I think the Jets will take it. I don't know. I mean, the guy that reported was a local news, like a New York guy earlier in the day. It might have been a sports net guy earlier in the day here. Stated that the Jets have reportedly told Le'Veon Bell he's on the clock. Like, you know, that they made him an offer. It's on the clock. And I remember before Le'Veon Bell saying he doesn't want to play for the Jets. But the Jets have made some decent moves in the last couple of days. And the Jets aren't a joke. I mean, the Jets get Le'Veon Bell. That's a serious acquisition for them.
And they're going to make more moves. You know, they have plenty of money left. Plus, they got the third pick in the draft. They can keep that draft and get a top rusher in the draft, which is loaded with them this season. Or they can trade down with somebody who maybe wants a quarterback and recoup some other picks here. I think with Le'Veon Bell, the deal is this. The Jets might have given him the best offer, but it's not an offer he wants. I don't think right now he's saying, I hate the Jets. I think he's saying it's not enough. He has to save face for what he did last year.
I think he thinks like an NBA player where – it's like, all right, let's say the Jets have offered me what I wanted, $18 million a year, in that ballpark, right, 17, 18. But I'd rather play for Baltimore and they're getting closer to doing this. Like, he could be talking to Baltimore at the same time, and, you know, and he would prefer to play in Baltimore. I think that's why the Jets sort of told him, hey, listen, we're not just going to sit here like, you know, we're not going to wait on a park bench for you, dude, like as you shop your services around to everyone else. Do you want to play for us or not? I think that's where we're at right now. So, look, what is it? It's Tuesday right now? I mean, I think this Le'Veon Bell stuff's going to break probably by tomorrow or Thursday. I'd be shocked if he's not signed by the end of the week.
Oh, if it goes to the end of the week, then things aren't going his way at all, because all the big money will be gone by then. Really, all the big money will be
that's
gone
what
by
I'm
tomorrow.
Saying.
He has to sign soon.
He's got to be in deep talks with someone right now. And it ain't the Jets.
Why isn't anything coming out? Why isn't anything coming out? We should know about this. Adam Schefter,
Someone should know. Whatever comes out is never true. Like, whatever the teams are that we think we know, it means he's talking to someone else right now.
But we're not hearing him talk to anybody. Everyone's guessing right now. We're not hearing anything concrete. I think he wants to be paid not as a running back, but as a playmaker. So he wants to get in that 18 to 20 million range. And that's not happening. I think he's waiting for that. Maybe he's waiting for Baltimore to pipe up to that, or the Jets to pipe up to that. And if that report's right about the Jets, well, they've already made him an offer. And then it's not that, because I think he accepts that. The Jets would have said, we're giving you $18 million a year. I don't think he cares about playing for the Jets or anybody else. He accepts the offer. That's what he wanted. That allows him to save face.
No, I think he
and
waits.
Him and his agent.
I think he waits and he uses the Jets as leverage. And then he just tells people, the Jets offered me $18 million. I'll take the $18 million and go to the Jets unless you can do something better or, you know, at least equal, because I really don't want to go to the Jets. I think that's what we're looking at. I don't know. I mean, we're all speculating here, but it seems that he's hesitant to play for the Jets for one reason or another. You know, and I guess their track record would be that reason.
Yeah. They're getting better, though. I like what the Jets are doing. That C.J. Mosley signing is wicked. That's a great signing.
It is. No, the Jets, yeah, they've improved their line.
Weaker division, too? Weaker division. Come on, it's not so bad.
No, I don't think the Jets suck as much as a lot of people do.
I agree. I think they're getting better.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
This is pretty crazy. So we asked this morning on the morning after, who will be the better NFL quarterback, Josh Allen or Sam Darnold? And it's an open-ended question. Are we talking fantasy quarterback? But I'm just stating, who would you rather have moving forward? Joe Ranieri is a Jet fan, and he sort of said, oh, well, for sure Sam Darnold's better than Josh Allen. And I said, well, why do you say for sure that? I said, I don't see that. And in fact, I would rather have Josh Allen. I'm not just saying that because I'm a Bills fan. But George Kurtz is not a Bills or a Jets fan, and neither is Cam Stewart. So I'll ask you, moving forward, which quarterback would you rather have? I'll start with you, Cam.
I'm going to go with Allen. It's very, very close, though. I like both guys a lot. I really like what Allen did, too, with even worse receivers, if you could say that. Robbie Anderson, a little bit better for the Jets at the end of the season. Look what Allen dealt with. I was really shocked. Gabe at Wyoming, we knew he could move, but not this quick. He was a gazelle out there. Man, he ran like a beautiful thoroughbred. I'm going to go with Allen, but both, I think, are going to be good. You're on the clock, Kurtz.
Actually, I can pretty much parrot what Cam just said, because I agree. I'm going Allen as well. I think it's close, and I'm not arguing with anybody who wants to pick Darnold, because I think he can make the argument. For me, I like guys who can move, who can get out of the pocket, who can run. I think it's important in today's NFL to be able to run. Got to be smart about it. Got to get down. Can't take those hits. But I like the fact that Allen is so good with his legs.
Yeah, and listen, both of them have dealt with difficult circumstances. This year, I mean, you could argue. Look, the Buffalo Bills' offensive line is terrible, and their wide receivers were terrible. I think Josh Allen was in a pretty tough situation. One thing that we can say, they were both definitely better after their second stint, right? They both, quote-unquote, got hurt. I think Darnold sort of got sat down. But anyways, we've got to get out of here, George. We're up against it. Anything for tonight? You got some last words for us, a hockey pick, or what do you got?
Yeah, I like Nashville tonight over the Ducks. Ducks didn't show up on Sunday night. Also like Calgary over the Devils. A little late-night hockey to me. Calgary over the Devils. Devils, no Hoyle, no Hischier, no offense.
Got to lay 400 parlay at George. Parlay it.
Wow. Indeed, you do.
George Kurtz giving us minus 400 locks for the night. thanks, Colonel Kurtz.
Later, buddy.
Game on the decision continues.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, Yang and Gabe. Yeah, I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports Radio News Update here. Let's get to the conference tournament hoop action on the go. ACC tournament in full swing today. Miami over Wake Forest, 79-71. Either a half-point Miami cover or push, depending where you got the line. Some places 8, some 7.5. Game over the total. Notre Dame taking out Georgia Tech, 78-71 the final. The Irish cover and the game goes over. NCAA conference tournament games tonight. Title games. Northeast title at 7. Fairleigh Dickinson versus St. Francis. St. Francis laying 4.5, 145. Northeastern minus 2 versus Hofstra in the Colonial, 145.5. Summit League, Nebraska Omaha, 3.5-point favorites over North Dakota State, 144.5. Horizon should be a great one here. Wright State Pick'em versus Northern Kentucky, 133. And the West Coast Final, Gonzaga minus 14.5 over St. Mary's, 140. Champions League soccer on the go right now. Juventus leading Atletico Madrid 1-0 at the half. Atletico Madrid still leading 2-1 on aggregate. Forget Gabe and Manchester City. Bing, bing, bing. Bombs away. They're killing FC Schalke right now. 3-0 at the break. Man City looks like they're moving on. They're up 6-2 on aggregate right now. So good news for them. NBA breaking news. Raptors center Serge Ibaka suspended 3 games. And Cleveland forward Marquise Chris suspended 1 as the pair threw down old fisticuff style last night. And the Cavs win over the Raptors. Jazz stars backing Russell Westbrook after the game last night when Westbrook got into it with a Utah Jazz fan and his wife. He confronted the heckler sitting baseline and threatened the fan and his wife after the incident. Westbrook telling reporters there are racist components in their heckling. That's why Westbrook went bananas. Also, this just breaking, Gabe. I see a story that fan has received a lifetime ban, too. So more on that story. He's got a lifetime ban. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant are plotting to join forces in the Big Apple. Charles Barkley says, hey, reconsider another city, guys. Barkley, the TNT analyst, saying they aren't tough enough to play in New York City. These guys have problems with the media in their current spots. Barkley says it'll get much worse. NFL transactions hot and heavy still today. Teddy Bridgewater expected to stay with the New Orleans Saints despite getting a better offer from Miami. Bridgewater apparently likes the prospect of taking over from Drew Brees one day. Likes the Saints locker room and culture. And Bridgewater off the market there. Tyrod Taylor looks to be the next step for the Miami Dolphins, and they'll also probably pick a quarterback in the draft. The Buffalo Bills bolstering their receiving corps today. Buffalo inking Cole Beasley and John Brown. Beasley, a slot specialist, signed a 4-year deal with $29 million. Brown, he'll set to make $27 million over the next 3 years. Beasley, 672 yards, 3 touchdowns. Brown, a dangerous deep threat, 5 touchdowns on the year, 715 yards. Jordan Hicks intends on signing a 4-year deal with the Arizona Cardinals. Anthony Barr back out of a deal with the Jets to stay in Minnesota. The 26-year-old saying he's going to take less money to stay with the Vikings. A multi-year deal worth about $13.5 million a season. Barr has made the Pro Bowl in 4 straight seasons. And the Jets beefing up their defense big time. Free agent linebacker C.J. Mosley from Baltimore. Great move by New York. 5-year, $85 million. That deal carries an annual salary of $17 million. $51 million of that guaranteed. Mosley, now the NFL's highest paid linebacker. It was Quan Alexander who signed on with San Francisco yesterday. He's making $13.5 million a year. And the Cleveland Browns already stacked on the D-line. They picked up Sheldon Richardson and signed him to a 3-year deal. So the Browns front four looks amazing. Ogunjobi, Miles Garrett and Olivia Werner as rush ends. That front four looks dangerous. Green Bay very busy today. The Packers usually don't do anything free agency, but they picked up three prominent defensive players, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, and safety Adrian Amos, formerly of the Bears. And they also picked up lineman Billy Turner yesterday. Four significant moves. The Panthers expected to sign Matt Paradis to a three-year, $27 million deal. In baseball, Tampa Bay have remained in consistent contact with reliever Craig Kimbrell. The Rays projected to enter the 2019 season with Jose Alvarado as their closer during his nine MLB seasons. Kimbrell, great stuff. 333 saves, a stellar 1.91 ERA, 868 strikeouts and 532 and two-thirds innings. Seven games in the NBA tonight. We'll go all over them with Gabe Big Man on campus there. Tim Tebow, his shot to the majors came up just short, but let's give the former Heisman Trophy winner a lot of credit. It's expected Tebow is going to start this year with AAA Syracuse. That's pretty good, and it marks his fourth promotion since joining the Mets organization back in 2017. Eight games in the National Hockey League tonight. We'll go all over the board. I'm Cam Stewart. He's Gabe Morenci, the host of Red Heat and Rage. Big Man on campus, too. We'll talk college basketball tournaments. Stick around, everybody.
Game time decisions.
All right, level two. Game time decisions. Red Heat Rage to Radio. We got some work going on here at the Wee Hawkins Studios. I got more lights than a porn set.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, and I think I can moonlight a little bit at
moonlight.
Nighttime. I could either feature my own films.
That's right.
Or I could just rent the place out. You know, lay
good
down
call.
A mattress, say, hey, do your thing. Give me $2,000 for the night.
Hey, I'm Sports Rage. Am I going to disrobe or are you going to disrobe? Exactly. You have the option. You can star or somebody else can star. Pay the rent.
Yes, all right. We're into level two. Big Man on Campus will join us in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll get into the college basketball and gambling talk later. But last night with the Toronto sports teams, Toronto Bookies scored big. It was the old Toronto two-step. The Leafs,
yeah.
Leafs and Raptors both go down. And Serge Ibaka is going to get suspended, no doubt, for attacking Marquise Chris.
Yeah, he got three
and
games.
I saw that.
Three games.
I saw that. Is it official? Three games?
Yeah, yeah. On the update, I just broke it. Three games for Ibaka, and Chris gets one. So three for Ibaka, right. Chris gets one.
Three games. Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. I said five originally, a little harsh. So yeah, I thought it would settle into three. And the other controversy last night I saw was people talking about Morgan Rielly of the Toronto Maple Leafs that was under investigation for using a homophobic slur during the game last night. Yet I'm listening and I'm listening to this and I watched this probably about 5 to 7 times in a row. And he said ragged. He didn't say F. He said
no.
R.
Yes, he did. That's why he didn't
said ragged. And another thing is, like, there was no one around him. So it wasn't like he was looking right at somebody. So why would he just randomly yell that out? You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know what ragged means. I played hockey. What's ragged mean? I don't know.
I have no clue.
He said ragged. He said ragged. I heard the R, Ken. He said ragged. Like, why would he just randomly yell out like a slur like that? He didn't. Now, listen. Hockey is probably a sport where that word is used more than others.
Agreed.
It's old school hockey. That word, French guys are called frogs. You know what I mean?
True.
There's still that old school.
There is.
Old school sort of dumb, like grandpa.
Yeah, they're bad like, jokes. It's kind of like the hockey's the John Wayne of
Canadian
sports.
And hockey. Yeah.
Hey,
like,
you stupid prick, you're a frog. Or I banged your mom last night.
You
she's
dumb
a hooter.
Frog.
Yeah, it's like the hockey guys hit the lowest of the low when it comes to
the
like
goof.
Personal
they
slang.
They do the goof. You effing hey. Goof.
Yeah, you're
yeah,
a goof.
You're a goof.
Oh, really? Call me a goof?
Exactly. They'll go with the goof thing. Yeah, like, they'll. Yeah. Like, they're very sort of just, like, you know, schoolyard-ish. But they're not sophisticated, right? So
true.
I'm not going to deny. I'm like, yeah, hockey players do use that word. Like, it's I remember when I was a kid, and you know that was flown around often, Cam.
Oh yeah,
so, you know,
yeah. The other F word.
Oh yeah,
I've been called
it. It really is.
Guys use it
like after a hit, someone does something, you F it like it all the time. Like
I use the C word.
Definitely,
sucker was one of my favorites.
That's the big hockey one.
Yeah. And I use that all the time.
That's a big hockey one.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Game Time Decisions, Redskins Radio, Fantasy Sports on Radio Network continues. I am Gable Retzi, throwing it down to Raging Redhead, that Cam Stewart. So as Cam alluded to, it was a pretty hostile Monday night last night. Serge Ibaka and Marquise Chris get into it. Russell Westbrook says, I'll F you and your wife up. I saw an interview with the fan that he got into it with, and the fan wasn't drunk or anything. It's Salt Lake City, so the guy was sober. You know, it's crazy. He said that it was his wife's first ever NBA game that he brought her to. And he said, like, you know, he gave the old, he poured it on thick. You know, you can insult me all you want, but, you know, while you insult, you know, you're threatening a 5-foot, 110-pound woman. He's trying to make Russell Westbrook seem like the monster. Yep. And he kept on saying, I never swore. Yeah, just because you never swore at him doesn't mean you couldn't have just, you know. He says that he was talking about Russell Westbrook's knees. Westbrook was wearing, if you see in the clip, Westbrook's got like, he's got like towels over his knees.
Yeah.
Sort of these shin type things, guard type things on. And I guess it's like a heat pack. And Buddy said something about you better ice your knee up to Westbrook, and Westbrook lost it. He said, what? And he said, you better. So supposedly that's what he says. He goes, it was all just, I said something about his knees and I didn't swear. And he says he's got like, you know, a million witnesses and they're going to check the tape and what he said. And thing is, if you remember last year, Cam, Westbrook knocked a phone out of a Utah Jazz's fan's hands.
True. Yep.
So Westbrook doesn't like Utah. He doesn't like going to Utah.
No,
and he even said it last night. He says, this bullshit always happens in Utah, these fans, and they go too far, and I'm sick of it, and I'm not sorry. And, yeah, he doesn't like Utah very much. You know it, Ken. It's like BYU games. Well, at least BYU suck now, but, like, they don't drink, but they're pretty rowdy. They're really like, you know,
that's the thing.
That's
like, the
thing.
UNL, the
they're
UNLV
rowdy
fans.
At Utah games.
We went to the UNLV game versus BYU.
UNLV fans don't even care, like, next to BYU fans.
No, they're a bunch of, they were, like, old guys, like, Blessing's age, drunk. Hey, Jimmer, you piece of crap, you know, you use the S word. But the BYU fans, since they weren't drunk, I found their attack more.
They're energetic.
Yeah, not just energetic, more cunning, creative, and mean, because it's not coming from like an alcohol place, it's coming from like, you know, like a clean brain. And I found their stuff to be very, very annoying. And to Westbrook's point, they got rid of this guy. Like, so the bottom line now, Gabe, is obviously for him, like, to get a lifetime ban. That's the story just broke. They're saying this guy, he's done. Like, I don't know. They didn't say anything about the wife, but apparently, I admit the phone stuff. You were right. We talked about this before. That was Westbrook's fault. But
so the fan, players, I didn't know this. So the fan, the NBA fan, is getting a lifetime ban.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He's
done. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So well, he must be full of it then. Because I just saw him on CNN, and he said, oh, all I talked about was his knees. Adam Silver ain't banning fans, bro, because you said something about his knees. He must have said, and Russell Westbrook isn't insane. I'm not saying Russell Westbrook's the nicest guy in the world, but for Westbrook to say, I'm going to F you and your wife up, he must have said something beside, oh, you better ice your knees. Like,
No, and for Westbrook's point, we don't know exactly what it is, but he said there was a racial slur. It says the Utah Jazz, the story just came in. What time is it right now? So like a couple minutes ago.
Well,
says,
Utah said they were checking the tape, Cam.
Yeah.
They have, it's all audio. They have mics all over the arena.
You know, it says the Jazz permanently banned the fan who had a heated exchange with Oklahoma City star Russell Westbrook, saying in the statement, there's no place in our game for personal attacks or disrespect. They didn't say racism in the comment, but personal attacks or disrespect. Everyone deserves the opportunity to enjoy and play the game in a positive and safe environment, Jazz president Steve Stark said in a statement this afternoon. Offensive and abusive behavior does not reflect the values of the Miller family, our organization, and the community. We all have responsibility, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, and a lot of the Utah Jazz players, too, Mitchell and a lot of guys are defending Westbrook, saying, yeah, this fan's a tool. So we'll see what happens after this. But
the fan looked like Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Hey, man, I drammed a birdie.
That's what he looked like. Yeah. He looked like Larry the Cable Guy, the fan. I saw an interview with him. I'll tell you, though, two things can be right, and I always talk about this. Two things can both be right, and I think this is a case where, all right, if the fan said something, ban the fan, fine. Although I think we're getting a little footloose and fancy with these bans all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everyone's banned this, banned
well,
that,
think
fired
about this,
fired that. But Westbrook should still get suspended.
Yes.
Like, even if somebody said something to him, you can't be threatening people in the stands. You know what I mean? I'll F you and your wife up, you know, you and your wife. Like, he should still get suspended. I would still suspend him a game. And I don't want to be Johnny Discipline here, but you can't have players threatening people, even if they said something. Yeah, I'd like to know what was said, and I'm sure Deadspin or Barstool will have what was said up in the next hour or two.
Yeah, check it. There's another thing that Pete just sent, Gabe, to you and me. It talks about this fan as it might not be a good citizen after all. This guy looks like he might be just a piece of crap.
Well, now this is what's going to happen. They're going to dig into his life. They're going to find out.
They're going to find out.
Everything's public access in the States, right? Yeah. You can look up his name and criminal record, and boom. Oh, look.
He's a known racist.
It's like you and me.
Yeah.
Remember when you and me defended the guy that got pulled over on the bicycle with cocaine?
Yeah, well, we didn't know the whole story.
Like, man, we're like, just let the guy go, man. You pulled him over on a bike. Like, it's just a stupid story. Then we find out he was like a child
pedophile.
Molester.
I know. And then I'm like, we're like, well, I'm glad he's. I know.
That's why you and I are cops. That's why you and I are cops. You and I be like, he's a good guy. You know, let him go.
That's the best. If we were cops, all the other guys would have like storage lockers with like blow and beer that they took from kids. Ours is just empty with gambling slips.
We gave him a second chance, Sarge. You know?
He's not such a bad guy. Come on.
We gotta. Yeah, it's like the time I stated. I'm like, this guy's one of the nicest guys I've met in MMA. I said, you're a real straight shooter and a class act. 24 hours later, he's on the news, allegedly assaulted a maid in a hotel room.
Wow.
I was like, great, that's the last time I'm ever saying anyone's a great guy. You know, I'm done. I find it
crazy though. Think about this. So we were talking about this yesterday. A soccer guy who attacks a guy and basically sucker punches him in the back of the head gets he gets a United Kingdom 10-year ban. This guy says something to Westbrook. He's done for life. The other guy actually physically harmed him. Big difference, Gabe, when the way they're divvying out justice between the Brits and the United States.
Well, they're behind us a little bit.
Yeah, big time.
Like, you know what I mean? Here, it's more extreme from a law enforcement perspective. Like, if you ran onto the field and if somebody ran onto the court and punched Westbrook, you're getting more than 14 weeks. Like, guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, guaranteed. Like, you're getting a couple of years type thing. Like, they'd make an example of you.
Oh, yeah. Too. Russell Westbrook, no games yet, Gabe. I'm seeing $25,000 fine for profanities and threatening language.
Hit him with a little money.
Yeah, little 20, 25K. That's nothing for him, but people don't like.
No, we've got Carl. Carl's working on our computer right now. Actually,
Carl!
I don't have. I'm not seeing anything. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything, and it's funny because we were talking earlier about sea sucker and this and everything else that. language that is used on an NHL rink during the commercial break. And Cardano walked into the room. He's like, are you on the air right now? So, No.
That's what we do.
Although, I tell you, if Yang ever screws up and leaves us on the air, we could be in trouble then.
Yeah. But, remember that story? Remember that lady? That's happened to a couple people. You know, when you lived here at the Morenci Studios, that beautiful, she was actually a really pretty lady. I forget what happened. She's back in the business now, but she lost her job for a few years. And, she went on some rant, like, during a commercial break, Gabe. And then she just got hired back. Avery Haynes, remember her? The chick with the silver streak in her hair. Yeah, but sometimes people say stuff. They don't, you know, it happens.
You got to watch out what you say during commercial breaks.
Good points.
There was a chick on CNN years ago that left her mic on somehow, and she went to the bathroom. And when she was in the bathroom, she said, God, is George Bush ever an idiot?
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Game time decision, Freddie Rage at Radio. All right, we've got access to our computer here momentarily. We're setting up shop this show will be going to video in the future. Cam's on his way with the Seahawk helmets. We just got to get him you a backdrop now.
Yeah, green screen. Ranieri stuff.
Green screen. You could get a green screen, actually. The green screens are much better right now. Like,
why not?
I don't know. I don't think we can fly Carl into Toronto to your house, though. We're going to have to figure something out. We're going to have to send someone to your place.
We'll do it over the, I guess I'll give Carl. Carl, the last time he set up the program, he just takes access to the computer and good things happen usually. So, Carl's in charge.
All right, so thank you to Jefferson, Jet Will, that's tuning in right now. We now know the comment, so it didn't take long. Russell Westbrook says the comment from the Utah Jazz fan that set him off was, get down on your knees like you're used to. Is that justifiable for him to go off?
Yeah. It's bad. It's not the worst. It's not like a racist combo. He says he sucks. You know.
It's not that bad.
It could be worse. It's bad, but it could be worse.
Like in the old days, like in a Philly game or New York or Boston or something, that's kind of standard, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. It's a different world we're living in, though. Morenci, you got to remember something. That's the thing. Like, it's not like the old days, like with stuff. Like, we used to be able to get away with murder. Today, you get in trouble for any little thing. Like, in today's world, that's a bannable offense.
Well, so I guess the fan lied when he said he was only talking about his knees.
That's,
and I knew the
another
guy was lying.
Yeah, of course he was lying.
Secondly, as well, just because I know it sounds cliched, but it's true, just because you bought a ticket doesn't mean you can say get on your knees like you're used to, I guess, right?
Yeah. No, you can't.
Because people seem to have the belief that if you don't swear, it's okay. And that's what the guy kept saying. I never use profanity. Yet there's a lot of ways you could really insult someone without using profanity. I still think Russell Wilson should have thicker skin, personally.
Yeah, Westbrook. Yeah, he's got a short fuse. I say Wilson. I do that too.
I saw something about Russell Wilson today and his wedding to Sierra or something.
Yeah. Well, what? Well,
that's
what
why he was in my.
What was he doing? As long as he's throwing the damn football, I don't care what he does with Sierra.
He's getting married.
That guy's clean living. I don't worry about him. Hell, we had an argument if he's ever had a beer in his life. Remember that show a couple months back? So I'm not worried about Russell Wilson, that's for sure. But get on your knees like that. I know you did. I thought he might have a couple in college, but no, he's pretty clean living. Guy's not even having a beer. Wow. Get on your knees like you used to. I don't know. What would you do with that? Okay, I'm asking you then. I think I wouldn't ban him for life for that. I'm sorry. I know that's probably not the popular response. I don't think
I'll be honest. After
I ban him
said
for that,
that
game.
Me,
I think he's got to go for a while, but not for life.
I would still suspend him. I would suspend Westbrook for a game still.
Yeah, 25K.
The fan, I'm not bad. But if I was Westbrook, I wouldn't have said what he said. And I'm not going to lie. I probably would have said something, too, though, about his wife. I would have said, why don't you send your wife down and get on her knees? I probably would have come back with, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, that's what I would have done. I would have, just really insulted the guy back and basically then told him, shut the F up after, right?
See, you're a lot wittier than Russell Westbrook. Like, you come up with a good, witty response. He just sees rage and wants to smash things. That's the thing. He should just say, calm down and go, I got a good comeback. Like, remember that lady was rude to you on the flight? You cut her up, too. Like, you got good comebacks. You're like Al Jeffy in Mad Magazine, snappy answers to stupid questions. You know, like, bam. You know what I'm saying, Marazzi?
Yeah, she beat me, that lady.
Yeah, a little bit, but. Anyway,
I lost that one.
That's why we drink.
I resorted to saying that I didn't like her pants.
Yeah, I know you did. Yeah, it's true. But your other lines were pretty good. But that's what happens when you drink on a plane.
Nah, but that's the thing. Like, normally people tap out after two or three singers, but she kept responding
back.
Yeah,
she was pretty tough.
I ran out like she was throwing a back at me.
Yeah, she was.
So finally I was like, yeah, well.
Thanks, pants.
Yeah. I was trying to be restrained. Like, I would have gotten worse. You know, we're on a plane, you know. Yeah, you know. Yeah. Have you heard about these Boeings that are going down?
Yeah, with the Ethiopia one, there's a lot of things going on.
I guess there's two. There's been two Boeing 738 MAX, or 737, 738 planes that have gone down recently. And pretty much every country in the world has grounded them. Like, even dangerous countries, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, even sort of like, Cam, you know, like, China shut them down.
Yeah, they're scared.
Even China was like, all right, we got to shut. Like, don't fly these planes right now. There's a problem. So basically every country in the world has shut them down except for two. The United States and Canada.
Hmm. Weird.
And the reason is, of course, Boeing is a North American company.
Yeah, Seattle company, right?
Yeah, there's a ton of jobs. Boeing has offices in Canada, too, and they make parts and... You know, there's just they're too big to fail. It's a massive, massive, massive company. Produces military stuff, etc. So they don't want the black eye here. So they're gonna say, no, it's the rest of the world. But it's kind of a shaky, and I know you don't like flying to begin with, so. And they basically stated, I just saw, like, you can't avoid it. Like, there's a full fleet of these son of a bitches flying around North America. So
I know.
Would you get on one of these right now?
No, I wouldn't. And now you got me thinking. I got to fly. My brother's taking me.
Yeah, sorry, you're going to Vegas.
For my birthday pretty soon in a few weeks. And, I'm just going to have to medicate myself before I get on that plane. I got to be honest with you. I hate flying on a good day. I'm kind of like John Madden. I want to take, like, a cruiser across the country, and I don't care how long it takes. I'm more of an adventure type of guy. That way we can stop at food joints, you know, get some ribs and things, turn it into a couple-day trip. But, you know, I'm going to have to bite the bullet and get on the plane. But these things seem to happen on very long excursions too, Marenzi. I'm thinking, like, what did it happen over airspace? What are we talking, like, Ethiopia and all sorts of other countries? I think in North America, I think we're going to be okay. It seems like it's happened on the longer trips, correct, the two incidents?
Well... Yeah, the thing is, too, exactly. I saw that the pilot of the Ethiopian plane only had 200 hours experience, which is not a lot at all, Kat, to be flying a commercial airliner like this.
And panicking. The guy probably panicked, right? Something bad happened, and, yeah, that's a good, excellent point. That's like training. 200 hours? Nothing.
No, it's not enough. I don't want to be...
No, I want my guy to have years and years and years of service before I got on a big one like that. Yeah, that's a good point.
But Canada, Canada and the United States have not. All right, so after a second crash of a 737 MAX 8 plane in less than 5 months, England, the United Kingdom, Germany, France, Australia, Indonesia, China, and other countries... have ordered these planes. They're not allowed to fly over their airspace. So, you know, there's got to be something up to these planes. Like,
Yeah.
I can't believe that they want to lose this money. The cost of grounding every 737 MAX plane could be between $1 and $5 billion. So yeah, what there's a list of airlines that own these planes. I almost don't want to tell you. What are you flying on when you go to Vegas?
Probably, I would assume a Boeing plane. Wouldn't it be with one of those big planes? It's a 5-hour trip.
Said,
it's not
what
like
airline.
What airline? I'll probably fly either WestJet or I'm thinking
no, you
WestJet.
Don't have your ticket yet.
No, I don't have my ticket yet. My brother's dealing with it. WestJet, United, or Air Canada are my three choices.
All right. So as you stated, you're right. They're on longer. They use these planes on longer flights.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, that's like.
I think five is kind of like
Las Vegas.
Yeah,
that's
a five.
It?
Yeah, it's okay, but I think you're thinking about once they start to get like 10 to 12, like one of those like real long, like we're going to other countries.
Yeah, because I'm seeing here,
you know what I mean?
Canada has canceled flights on Boeing 737 MAX 8 planes, but as you stated, on some flights to London, England, only because London, England won't accept them. Mm-hmm. All right, here it is right here. Ooh, this isn't good. Passengers looking to avoid Boeing 737s will have little help from Canada's airlines.
Oh, great.
Sorry, Cam.
It just seems to always go down that way.
Travel agencies say Canadian airlines are not waiving flight change or cancellation fees for passengers who want to switch. Yeah, of course not. A bunch of bastards. These planes are going down. It's like, well, listen, I just don't want to fly. I'm not, you know, can I get my money back? No. Canadian Airlines are the biggest, like, scumbags, man. All right, so Canadian Airlines are not waiving any flight change or cancellation fee for passengers who want to switch to an aircraft other than a Boeing 737, the model that crashed. So they're forcing you to fly. This
Great.
Is the stance from Air Canada and WestJet, which collectively tout. Wow, they have them. The crash claimed, all right, blah, blah, all right. 18 Canadians were on board, man, this plane.
That's
great
true.
Concerns, all right. Yes. There was another one in Indonesia last year. The United Kingdom and Germany, the latest jurisdictions, they won't let them fly. Australia, Singapore, Ethiopia, Indonesia, and China also. Canadian Transport Minister Mark Garneau, the astronaut guy, said it would be premature to speculate about the cause of the accident. Yeah. I don't know. Why is the rest of the world, like, speculating then?
I remember the last time, Gabe, just right around when I met you, whatever, it was a trip before. I went to Vegas, and, yeah, it was the same type of thing. Like, our airline went under, like, while we were there, and it was an absolute nightmare.
What, the airline
like
went bankrupt when you were there?
Oh, yeah, and they, like, they just, no insurance, they went bankrupt. They're like, find your way home. That was the email. Thanks for flying with us. Good luck to you. Flew into Buffalo.
Now, me personally, I think there's pilot error involved. I don't think Boeing is sending out a bunch of defective planes to crash everywhere.
No.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
A shocker in Scotland, too. Gabe Aberdeen knocking Rangers out of the Scottish League Cup. And, at Ibrox, too. Ranger fans don't want to go to the supporters club tonight. It's going to get rough.
Aberdeen.
Yeah. So it's funny. My buddy Forbes is a Rangers fan, but he's from Aberdeen. So it's kind of like he wins. Like, because Aberdeen's his home. He's like groundskeeper Willie. He's from Aberdeen.
Yeah, yeah. No
North
kidding.
Aberdeen.
I'm from Aberdeen. North Aberdeen. No, wasn't it Kilt Town? I'm from North Kilt Town.
Kilt Town.
Yeah. I like Homer says to him, wait a minute, there's no North Kilt Town.
There's no North Kilt Town.
And Willie's on the defensive. No, it's true.
Great
stuff. No kidding. I'm from North Kilt Town.
Kilt Town. Oh, amazing.
Yeah, soccer, that's why I stayed away. Like, so I've got a little action ready to go. As Cam loaded up the account.
Sure did, buddy. Sure did. I find it ironic. Yeah. Just one quick thing about it. I just love the way they do it, because I went up to the guy and I'm like thinking, okay, well, you send me the cash or whatever. I wanted to do like in different denominations or whatever. The fact that they cap you at that number 250 and the amount you're paying for is an absolute scam. These companies got a great thing going on, like these prepaid visas when you activate them, like a $50 card, $6.95 and stuff. Renzi, the more you get, the more you spend, it should be less. But these guys, like, they make you do it an extra, because I got some for me too. So you got to pay twice because they max you at 250, right? So I just basically paid. Yeah, I did exactly what you do. I wanted to like mix it up, right? But they max it up at 250. I'm like, what a scam. Well, I would love to be running those companies, man. Like the VIG that these guys have. You talk about the sports books. Give me a break. Wow.
They also.
It's unbelievable.
They also max you out at 1,000 too.
Yeah, that's another thing. So you can only get four at one time, and then you pay four.
Yeah,
separate
well, some
fees.
Places wouldn't care, but our boy Shane was by the book, right?
Yeah, this lady's pretty tight at my location too. It's really weird. Like, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, they
Canada
put the
Post.
Most responsible.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm telling you, you go to a Shoppers Drug Mart, Canada, they put the most responsible worker in the post office.
I wouldn't say the most responsible. I'd say the most suspicious of others, or like the type of person.
The most anal. Yeah,
or that would rat out a coworker for something. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, like if they put you or me there, people would be like, I left my ID at home. I'm like, yeah, you're good.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your address? You. Yeah, you're good. Yeah. Here's your package.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Shane, I saw a guy, like, guy had like a driver's license and like a health card. Shane's like, sorry, sir, I need a bill. He's like, the guy had a good point. He's like, who effing carries a bill
Here's
around?
A bill.
Like,
great point.
He's like, what do you
carry bills?
Remember you were in line even once. Remember the rocker guy? He's like, I don't know what this guy's problem
was awesome.
Is, man.
Yeah.
I just want a stamp.
Yeah, the guy was sending like a letter to China. It seemed pretty important. He said, just help me out, buddy. Like, no, Shane really shook that guy down. He was not impressed.
Like, I've seen border agents that shake people down less than Shane did at the post office. I told you once, too, like, I got like $1,000 in PayPal. And he goes, yeah, here you go, buddy. He goes, I don't know what you got going on, but here you go.
Yeah, okay. That's another thing.
What the hell is that supposed to be?
I don't know what
you got going on, but here you go.
That's the best, eh? So he gives you the stuff, and he thinks you're running some kind of illegal racket? No, dude. It's like, I don't know what you it's got like, going well, on. It's true. They look at me.
Buy something from the post office. Like,
I
what's
know.
Your, like, I, dude, that's... I'm telling you, when you buy the PaySafe, they give you a look. They're like,
I don't. Oh, no, no.
What
the
you
lady,
do with this? Like,
the lady, I go, I need another. And then she looked at, they had a guy back there training, and they gave me a look like this guy's shady. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? No, it's true. They had their, I was watching them. I'm like, these idiots, like, they think I got something illegal going on here. I'm just trying to, I don't want to pay the fees, but man, how much money do you think they make in fees, Gabe? Think about it. That's just me and you. All the other people, those cards are insane.
Yeah, but nobody, I don't know how popular PaySafe is. It's just because by chance they work with that one book that we like. So it's convenient. I think PaySafe is used. It seems on their website that it's for video games.
Oh,
like a lot of
I
people,
see. Kids.
Yeah, like you got to buy things and access, or like you can buy like strength.
Buy tokens. Yeah. Hey, I needed that sword to defeat that warlord. Yeah, get in on it, kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a lot of gaming systems, I guess, if you look at their website that PaySafe is associated with.
Hmm.
So I think that's where they make their money, and then plus with the gamblers.
Yeah, true.
Now, there's PaySafe here, actually, but it specifically says, and I'm glad that I double-checked before I purchased it, it says cannot be used for gambling. Cannot be used for gambling. And Canada doesn't say that. In Canada, you can use it, right? So... Yeah, that's where we're at now. But I'll tell you, looks like more and more that it's inevitable that the single game wagering will be coming to Canada. And as you talked about it too, the crew over at Woodbine, they're the ones going to be at the forefront of this. They're pushing it hard.
It's actually
and
funny.
Doug Gabe Ford just wrote a letter to Trudeau even. I saw it, and he basically stated, let's do this, and we want to move forward with sports gambling in Ontario now. I think they want to get ready for the next football season, essentially.
Yeah, it's funny. I got a guy just recently this week, a guy from Woodbine reached out to me. We have a meeting next week. Basically, what I was doing before, trying to integrate the sports, the provincial lottery with horse playing, like, hey, if you take race 5 at Woodbine, we'll tie it in with the Thursday night football game. Like, I'm trying to come up with concepts right now. Like, we can't do exactly what we want to do, but things to get more people involved and even at the OTBs and stuff like that. Yeah, and he told me basically the same thing. It's right around the corner, and they're just... it's going to be good for guys like me and you that are fans of racing and fans of sport, right? We're just trying to get treated like adults here. We shouldn't be treated like children and have to put parlay bets in all the time. It's absolutely ludicrous.
Well, Woodbine, if you think, like, Woodbine will essentially be like what the Meadowlands is. Like,
yep, exactly.
It'll suddenly be packed, right? Mm-hmm. It's a little different because Woodbine has a casino already.
They do.
Not a real casino, but sort
actually,
of.
Actually, yeah. You know what I mean? No, now they do. Now they have table games.
They do.
Yeah, they do. They went from basically slots and virtual. They actually have real tables. They were training some people in from other casinos. They brought over a lot of people from Niagara on the state side, Seneca, Niagara. So they have some dealers that are over at Woodbine
now. One thing that Doug Ford has done, he is pro-gambling. Like, yeah, if Kathleen Wynn was in charge still, that's not happening.
Oh,
like, she
God,
put
no.
tables in. Right? Like,
God,
you know what I mean?
No.
She was like, they were like, listen, MGM's going to build a free casino downtown. She's like, no, they're not. Like, she's like, that's not happening. Right? And Doug Ford's like, I remember Rob Ford at the time was like, oh, we want to, you know, he, like, Rob Ford was the mayor. Doug Ford wasn't, you know, no one really. They didn't have the power. But when Rob Ford was the mayor, and it was a good idea, actually. Yeah, it wasn't a bad idea. You know, the fact is, Toronto's a big city, but it is boring. You know, it is. Like, there's,
yeah, I know.
You know, like, every, you need a casino. I'm not stating that a casino that's the only thing to do, but a major city without a casino is just, it's like, it's unheard of. And especially a city like Toronto, and it was a good idea. Down by Ontario Place and the waterfront, and, it's underdeveloped. It's, you know, it used to be nice, but there's nice space there. It's right on the water. It's beautiful real estate. And basically, Ford had these casinos, like, bidding. And they were going to do everything. It was, like, a great deal for Toronto. It was basically like Steve Wynn and MGM were going head-to-head. And it was basically like, all right, we're going to build a casino. We're going to pay for the highway and, like, the we're going to build the roads and the parking lots going into the casino. And we're going to give you, like, 38% of the money that we take.
Like, I know. Well, okay.
No, like, Ford cut a good deal. They were like, listen, yeah, we're going to give you nearly half the effing money. We're going to build it, right? And we're even going to build, like, Cirque du Soleil and a theater. And all the city council on Toronto voted against it for the most part.
Of course
part.
They did, because they're a bunch of idiots.
It was, like, nearly overwhelming. It's and it turned out, basically, as you know, Cam, they're all crooked. They're all on the take from the condo realtors in Toronto. And those guys didn't want, because, you know, if a big casino comes in, that's like, you know, 10 city blocks gone of prime real estate that they're not making money on. As opposed to, you know, 3,000 new condo units that go up that they all make money off of. So they blocked it. Yeah, that's the type of thing that's what you're a politician. You need to make both groups happy. You say, shut up, you can develop there, and we're going to put the casino here, and everyone's going to win, right? But instead, you know, Toronto's such a nanny, was such a nanny state. You know, like Kathleen Wynne and city council, oh, you can't do this, and you got to wear a helmet, and you can't, you know, and everything was like, you can't do this. At least Ford's opening things up a little bit as far as gambling, gaming, and it'll help the economy. And look, Woodbine will be a zoo. Can I imagine what a Leaf game is going to be like, or a Raptor playoff game at Woodbine with sports betting?
Yeah, it's going to be great. And, you know, I hope I can do something with these guys and still kind of have the horse racing and the sports going on. It's going to be great. And you bring up such a good point about the condo board. It's funny, actually, right now, Lisa's board, a lot of corruption going on, envelopes and people. One of the ladies in charge, she's doing a horrible job. They're trying to, like, vote her out. It's, the people don't understand these things that go on in condo boards. There's a lot of shady backroom deals and money's being exchanged. Like, it's nuts. Like, Toronto Development right now, they're putting up so many damn condos, we don't even know what's happening in that region anymore, Gabe. Like, when I go over to her house to do in the show, I can't even look around. It's just building, 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 all in the entertainment district. Like, it's pretty bad. It's a little too much.
See, a winner made on Twitter likes my comeback. Send your wife down and tell her to get on her knees. Like,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, see, exactly.
Like, that's, yeah, nice. That's what I was.
Excellent comeback. Excellent comeback. Yeah, it's that's the thing about Westbrook, right? You say something to him, he's just, he's like, he turns into, like, the Incredible Hulk, Bruce Banner to Hulk, quick. The thing is, he doesn't even think about, like, a comeback. He's ready to pounce. Like, he's got a short fuse, that guy.
Yeah, but it's out of control with Westbrook in the sense that, yes, not him. You remember last week, a kid touched him and slapped him on the back.
That's true. You can't do,
like,
that.
Like, what is this? Pick on Russell Westbrook, like, league every night? Yeah, like, if you're Westbrook, you're probably thinking, why me? Like, he's, like, the only one almost. And this happened to Durant. Not happening to other guys. You know what I mean? Westbrook didn't do anything that night. He was standing there. He got the ball. And the kid slapped him in the back. Like, Westbrook was about to turn around and smack the dude. And he saw it was a kid. And he told the father, control your effing kid. And then he leaned into the kid. And he goes, don't touch people that you don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was actually pretty smart of him. He said that. He gave a kid, he basically got in the kid's face. He goes, don't touch people you don't know, little man. That's what he told the guy.
Yeah, great
advice.
Don't
touch people you don't know, little man. And he told the father, check your son. And the father, sorry. But, like, it's enough. Like, if I'm Westbrook, I get the frustration at this point, actually. Like, I get his frustration. And I don't know if it's true or not. Some people are saying it's a fake Twitter account. I don't know, dude. This is the world we're in now. But it looks like the fan that got kicked out, if that's his real Twitter account, the guy's a raving racist. So I don't know, though. I think it could be fake. You know,
I don't know what to believe these days.
I'm not defending the guy.
I'm not defending him at all. I think the guy's a complete idiot. He said, get on your knees and stuff like that. Well, yeah, you get what you pay for. And you bring up an excellent point. I can't see any other player. Like, there's no other villains in this league. Like, you can't, some guy can't come up to James Harden and give him the business. It's, you're right. It's always Russell Westbrook. I know he's one of those guys, when you
another
look at
good
his,
one too,
when you look at his body language and stuff, he does get fired up and chirps back at people and stuff. But there's other guys who do that too. It's not just him.
There's a lot of comebacks you could have come. Like, he said, get on your knees. Say, like, when your mom did when she had you. Yeah, I mean, there's like this. There's a lot of different, like, ways you could have come back at it. You know what's crazy, though? Now we're in this era, too. What starts out as heckling at a game, if this guy's tweets are real, Kev, then he gets fired. It's crazy. You mouth off at a basketball game, next thing you know, you're fired because your boss sees you're a raving racist on the internet.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, game time decisions. Ready, Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. All right, we just got a quick little hit here. Cam will get us up to date in the 6 o'clock hour. Big Man on Campus will join us at about 6:09. We'll jump into the college basketball card tonight and all the conference championship games. I got to post the picks, get them over to the inputter. And I got bad news informed here. We set up shop in one of the rooms. I rearranged the Weehawken studio cam and got to go back to the bigger room right now.
Wah, wah.
The living room becomes a TV studio.
Yeah. Did you want to do it in your bedroom or did you want to do it in the living room?
Yeah, I preferred it because
you got a lot of space there.
Well, it's not a bedroom, really. It's just that we got three rooms. So if one of them could have been a studio. And now you got cables. I got to trip over things. And, you know. But hey, it is what it is. Quickly on this, there is a story here from the Iditarod. Some pretty crazy stuff here up there in Alaska. So the Iditarod's going on. And Nicolas Petit, he's a French musher from France.
French musher.
He's called mushers.
Yep.
He's a musher. He was leading at a 14-mile lead, which in, I guess, and this is massive. So basically,
14
like,
miles.
He was a certain lock to win, and he was 14 miles up. But they track you GPS, and then GPS tracking showed that his team had crawled to a halt after a few miles. So this is an amazing story, Cam. So basically, one of the dogs stopped to take a dump.
Yes.
Like, I never thought about it. Yeah. I figured they just sort of dumped as they ran, but no. Like, the dog stopped. One of the dogs stopped and took a dump. I guess the lead dog is like a coach. And they're trained, like, to... So the dog attacked the dog that took the dump. Like, basically, it was mad. Like, the dog didn't want the dog to take a dump.
Yeah, like, wait.
The dog was like, no, let's go. The other dog was like, no, I'm taking a dump. So I guess the other dog jumped on the dog that took a dump and tried to, like, pull him back in to get going. And the other dogs revolted and took the side of the dog that took the dump and all just sat down and refused to leave.
Sorry, buddy.